Our text is found in the second of the Psalms which we read, Psalm 63, and we shall read again at verse 8. Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Amen. This is surely a suitable text as we embark upon a new year, both in terms of our personal lives and our life as a congregation. What ought to be our attitude of mind and heart as we face the months ahead? Well, we find the psalmist, as ever, giving us guidance. David, by no means perfect, but here we see his earnestness for the Lord. He's following after God. And that is something we must begin to do. But having begun, we cannot take our ease. We have to press forward. We have to make continual progress. Why are we following after God? Well, that is our duty. It is our calling. It is surely the fruit of divine grace in the lives of God's people. Following after God is to walk with him. It is to follow the steps of the Saviour. It is to have our lives focused upon Almighty God, our gracious covenant God. Psalm 63 is one of the few psalms where we are told the circumstances which lay behind it. You find that in the title, the Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So the psalmist was far from the house of God and the people of God, yet his longing for the Lord is evident. We may have our wilderness times too. The Christian experience is like that. And as you look back upon a year now past, it may have been for you, at least at times, something of a wilderness, barrenness. Your soul felt dry, empty. There were times of sickness and sorrow and distress. These things, these afflictions, the Lord's people must also bear while they are in this world. But by grace, if you are one of the Lord's, you have maintained your trust and your confidence in God. He is worthy of our trust, our wholehearted dependence. That is the spirit of the psalmist. Do we share it? At the outset of this new year, is this the way we approach the year ahead? We are relying upon God. We are bringing all our burdens to him. We are sharing our lives, as it were, with God our Maker, and especially the Lord's people. They know that is the purpose of our lives. We are not our own. If we are in Christ, then we are his possession. And we are to serve him and glorify him in the way in which we live our lives. What do we see in the psalmist? We see one who has this desire in his soul. The desire of his soul is to God's name and to the remembrance of him. Is it so with you? And is it so with me? That God is first and foremost. Our love to him must exceed our love to any other. Our very heart must be set upon God. Well, we shall consider, with God's help, following after God. And to note firstly, the pursuit of David's soul. My soul followeth hard after thee. We can have many different pursuits in life. We have our stations in life, our callings in life. We belong to a family. We may have that marriage relation, covenant, and we may have a line of work, and we may have a position in society. All these responsibilities and the duties that come with them, these things are lawful, these things are good. But do we know that these pursuits are not and can never be the main pursuit that we are to have in our lives? Our earthly sojourn, it is good to consider our life like that. Strangers and pilgrims, making our way through the wilderness of this world and to eternity. Well, in light of that, what should our main pursuit be? It should surely be this: seeking God. Seeking the one who has given us our very being and our existence in this world. Our precious lives, whether our days be many or few, we only have the one life here. Soon we go to our long home, from whence there is no return to this world. There is a pursuit that every individual should have: the pursuit of our soul. Do you value your soul? You have nothing more precious, more valuable. The soul is what distinguishes man from the other creatures. They live and die, and that is it. But the soul that we have exists forever. So you and I shall exist forever. And we're going to eternity. And where shall we be when we enter eternity? Do we not know the teaching of Holy Scripture? It is so plain. Two destinies in eternity: heaven and hell. Not a third one, as many might imagine, some sort of purgatory or step toward heaven. No, it is heaven or hell. And it is a matter that we must consider here and now. And where we go will depend on the pursuit of our soul. What are we seeking in life? What are we seeking above all other things? Well, you might say, I hope to be happy. I want to have a comfortable life. I want to get on in the world. These things in and of themselves are not necessarily wrong. But where is your focus? It must be in this direction, Godward. You must be thinking of the one to whom you are accountable, the one to whom judgment belongs. The day of reckoning is coming for us all. And when we pass from this life, our state is fixed. And as death finds us, eternity shall leave us. What then of the pursuit of our soul? There really is only one lawful pursuit for our soul, and that is to pursue God, to follow after God. Is there any indication in your life that that is how it is with you? When others observe you, is it clear to them that the most important thing in your life is God? Well, the evidence would be there if you are in God's house regularly, and if you come to God's house with a desire to draw near to God, to truly worship Him. You can be in God's house and your mind far away. We've all known that. Pray then that your heart would be fixed. Pray that you would be taken up with God Himself, and especially with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is freely offered to sinners in the gospel. And you know that. And have you closed with Him? Have you drawn near to God through faith in Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin? These are great questions, suitable to be asked at any time, but perhaps appropriate at the beginning of a new year, that we may start the new year in the right frame of mind, with our thoughts taken up with the right things. It is not easy. Life is busy. So many activities, so many demands upon our time. Many distractions, many temptations. We ought to recognize that. Why are our lives so often fruitless, especially spiritually speaking? Because we're drawn aside. We're spending time and effort upon things other than the Lord, His word and prayer and fellowship. You cannot know the blessing of God if you do not spend time with God. It is as straightforward as that. As well as attendance at the house of God, there ought to be worship in the home, in the family, as appropriate, but also in the secret place. More and more, I believe that the secret place, private devotion, is the great key to the prosperity of our soul. We might say the most important thing is to hear preaching. And that is the means God has particularly appointed for us to bless us. But you do not get a blessing in God's house unless you first seek God in your own dwelling. You go aside. You open the Bible. You pray for light. You ask God to bless His word to you. Many have met with the Lord in that way, and their souls have been enriched by the grace of Jesus Christ. Watch and pray, said Jesus to His own disciples, lest ye fall into temptation. Is He not saying that also to us? And we might say to ourselves, well, I certainly try to avoid temptation, keep myself clear of it. But do not forget how subtle the devil is. Do not be ignorant of his devices. So full of cunning. And he might make lawful things and good things to be such to you if you're spending more time on those things than you are on the things of God. We have a soul, and our soul is preparing for eternity. And our soul can only be prepared for a blessed eternity if we spend time with God. If we follow after God. Let it be then that with the help of his grace, that God is very much in our thoughts in this new year. And let God be in your conversation too. When we meet as believers, let us try and encourage one another with something from the scriptures. Something the Lord has been doing in our lives. Something that will edify and strengthen a fellow saint. And let us follow after God. Secondly, the diligence David showed. We might easily overlook this, but we must not. My soul followeth hard after thee. So you have his pursuit, he's following after God. And then you have the manner in which he is following after God. His soul is following hard after God. The sense of the word hard is determination. One thing have I desired, says the psalmist in another place. One thing will he seek after. He would dwell in the house of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. Oh, that is how we ought to be. Is that the one thing that dominates your life? The one thing that is there when you wake in the morning and when you take your rest at night, and it's there also throughout the hours of the waking day? We ought to be more like this. Determined, resolved, pledged indeed to follow after God, to follow hard after God. This is a very important thing brought out for us by the Apostle Paul when he writes his epistle to the Christians at Philippi. Chapter 3. We do not have time to read the whole chapter, but it is well worth reading at the beginning of a new year. And we find the apostle with this attitude. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now he speaks of being apprehended by Christ. The Savior has laid hold of Paul. The Savior did that in eternity, we might say, in election, in the covenant. Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem his chosen people. But the Savior laid hold of him, as you know, when he, as Saul of Tarsus, was on the road to Damascus. And what was the state of his heart then? Hatred toward Jesus Christ. and the followers of Christ. But the Lord Jesus laid hold of him in mercy and grace, and subdued him to himself, and made of Saul of Tarsus, the enemy of Christianity, a great champion of the gospel. Paul would apprehend that for which he was apprehended by Christ. It's like the Israelites. They had the promised land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, all that is good. It represented the blessing of God. But how did they obtain Canaan? Did they simply walk in, take it over, that was that? No, there was a conflict. They had to fight the heathen nations which were in possession of that land. They had to drive them out. And they were still afflicted, even after they had entered Canaan. And the Christian experience is like that. You cannot stand still. You cannot sit down. You must be up and doing. You must be exercised in the means of grace, by faith, in the things of God. You must, as he goes on to say, forget those things which are behind, and reach forth unto those things which are before. And he sums it up in this way: I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, dear friends, are we doing that? Consciously doing that? We're running the race. Are we doing so with patience and endurance? That means persevering in and through every difficulty. You note that the Lord sends difficulties to his people, to you. How do you cope with them? Perhaps you are unhappy. Perhaps you complain. Perhaps you find such things to be a weariness, and that which discourages you. It is easy for us to be like that. But to try and face these things in the right spirit, the spirit of trust in God, the spirit of reverence for God, that he is God over all, and nothing happens in the creation without him, and nothing befalls his people without him. He has appointed it. The reason why, precisely, in the detail of it, we may not be able to tell. But we know it is for our ultimate good. We know that it is to try us, that we might exercise our faith in God, flee to him as our refuge and our strength. And we know that it is for our spiritual refinement when we face these troubles in our lives. And you may know this blessing at such a time. You continue with the Lord. You stay with Christ. You go on in the straight and narrow way. Now that is grace. And it's good for you to know and for me to know that we have grace. The grace of God in truth. If the Christian life is easy, well, we might manage it in our own strength and after our own wisdom. And if we try to live in that way, well, we're in danger of falling, and falling badly. Better to be dependent upon the Lord. That every trial you have sends you to God in the name of Christ the Mediator. and you cleave to God. When we live in that way, we're showing to ourselves, firstly, that our religion is genuine. It's not make-believe. It's not a mere notion. There really has been a saving change. And perhaps we also bear witness to others, to the reality of conversion to Christ and the power of divine grace and the love of our God to his own. Because although God may send trouble, it will not be such as to overwhelm us. There will be a bearing up. The Lord is good. Never let your own flesh or the world or the devil tell you otherwise. We go by Scripture. Scripture is our light in the darkness of those experiences which we do not wish to have, but which the Lord sends. The word is there. Let it interpret what is happening in your life. And let the word point you to Christ Jesus. Both in terms of the fact that he is your salvation, because it is wholly of God's grace in him, wholly by his finished atoning work of redemption. But let it point you to Christ also in terms of the experience of our Lord in this world, enduring the contradiction of sinners against himself, buffeted, smitten, scourged, bearing wrath, divine wrath. Why was it so with Christ? Surely he was the holy, the innocent one. Certainly he was. But he stood in his people's place. And he did so for their redemption, but no doubt also as an example. To submit to the will of God, to be content with the way that God has appointed, and at such times to seek to glorify God by a constancy, a following hard after God, the God who has never wronged us and never will, and to learn the lessons of trials and temptations. They are many, and we need to be taught that we might be the more faithful in following Christ Jesus, and thereby our light, the light of grace in the soul, shining more brightly in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The pursuit of David's soul. My soul followeth hard after thee. The diligence David showed. My soul followeth hard after thee. Then the help that David enjoyed. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Just a few words, but they are words of God, inspired by the Spirit, and they teach us so much. And these words are blessed to every believing soul. And surely we will say the same regarding the year past. And we trust we will be able to say the same concerning the present and the year ahead. Thy right hand upholdeth me. God is indeed our refuge and our strength. In the Lord we have righteousness and strength. We know how it is with our body. Without the appropriate support, it will faint. We will become weak. There must be regular nourishment, refreshment, food and drink. Well, where do we get those from? Those necessities. Give us this day our daily bread. We should be thankful to the Lord, even for these things. And as the body needs such support, so does the soul. The gracious soul needs support. Support from God. Where else shall we get it? Do not think to be strong in the Christian faith and life by any resources of your own. We're prone to that temptation and that danger. We think we know so much. We think we're so wise spiritually. We think we have many achievements, many things under our belt. We can go on. We'll manage. But that, again, is the way to stumbling and to falling. Oh, far better, indeed essential, that we come to the Lord continually and we say, my leanness, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I am empty. Oh, Lord, fill me. And we come to God in the name of the one who is full of grace and truth. That is where you get your support from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, thy right hand upholdeth me. We can speak of the right hand of God. Scripture does. But who is there at God's right hand? Do we not know that our blessed Saviour is there? After he died at Calvary and was buried, he fulfilled that promise made to the disciples that on the third day he would rise again. And he showed himself alive to them all, convinced them by many infallible proofs that he was the same Lord, risen indeed. Then after 40 days he ascended up on high. Where? To God? Yes, and to the right hand of God. That's the position of the utmost honor. And power and authority. And so when the psalmist says, thy right hand upholdeth me, we believe he had in mind then Jesus Christ, seeing him from afar, knowing Christ as the Redeemer, the Saviour from sin. David often spoke of Christ as the one who penned the Psalms by the Spirit of the Lord. He revealed many things concerning the Lord's anointed, the coming Saviour. And no doubt he understood something at least of what he wrote. The right hand of God, upholding the people of God, tried and afflicted saints, those who are weak and weary. And it may be that that is how you are entering this new year. You're struggling. The Christian way is not easy. Prayer is difficult. Being attentive to the word and preaching. Sometimes you know you're not as attentive as you ought to be. Well, look to the one who is at God's right hand. Look to Jesus Christ. He has made everything to us, everything to our soul. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. It is all there in him. A covenant fullness for his people. Go to him as you are. Go to him and express how you feel about things and the difficulties you face and the weakness you feel. And pray that he would grant you the evidence that you are upheld by him, and that you might know a greater strength for this pursuit of your soul, following after God, that you may indeed follow hard after God. Saviour, full of grace for his people. And he knows each and every one of them. We were thinking about that yesterday evening. The good shepherd and his sheep. Every true shepherd knows his flock, cares for every sheep, and the lambs also. So it is with Christ and far more. Do you know that he knows your weakness better than you do? He knows your difficulties more than you understand them. And he is the one to whom you should go and with whom you should share all your exercises within your soul, both the encouragements and the discouragements, and especially to seek from Jesus Christ inner strength. Most people prize bodily health and strength, and they're happy when they have it. And of course, if they begin to lose it, if there's some illness, especially of a debilitating kind, they may be greatly cast down as a result. Even more important than bodily strength is soul strength, spiritual strength. Why is it that so many, even those who have the name of Christian, seem to compromise today, go back upon their profession, go back into the world, think that somehow you can be a Christian in the church, but also in the world, a foot in both camps? Why is it that is how many are? Well, surely they're not following hard after God. They're following equally as hard after the world and worldly pleasures. And the law will not allow that. You cannot serve God and mammon. It must be Christ and Christ alone. And the Lord will strengthen those who are sincere in following him, even though in many respects they may not be all that they ought to be. You remember Gideon and his 300 men. Gideon's great army was reduced to that apparently very small number, and therefore, apparently, a very weak army. But by God's blessing, they did valiantly, and they overcame the Midianites. And we find in Judges chapter 8, Gideon coming to Jordan, and he passes over with his 300 men. And we're told that they were faint, yet pursuing them, going after what remained of the Midianites, especially those kings, Zeba and Zalmunna. Gideon said unto the men of Succoth, "Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." There's a lesson there. We are faint. We are weak. Except we are feeding upon Jesus Christ, the bread of life. It is in him that we have our strength, nowhere else. So let us spend time with the Lord in his word and in prayer and in godly fellowship, and thereby know the strength of God in our souls. And so, like the psalmist, be following hard after God. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for the abundance of thy grace toward thy people, and how thou dost supply their soul, each and every one of them, with that strength which they need in following after thee. Bless us each one, even as thou dost know our need, and may we have that strength we require. Come to Christ, to continue with Christ, that we may have fulfilled in our own experience ultimately the promise of thy word, that we shall be with Christ in a glorious eternity. Bless us and forgive our sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.